This is Deborah Gordon. The date is February 21st. I'm here interviewing Minnie Lowenstein for National Council of Jewish Women, Pittsburgh Section, Oral History Project. Minnie, could you state your name and your birth date?
My name is Minnie Lowenstein, born April the 13th. 1916.
Thank you.
Oh, wait. Can I turn it? It doesn't work yet.
Yeah, it's recording now. Okay, Minnie, we were talking last time about regrouping with your husband, and he had changed his name. And he was working in a barber shop?
No.
Near a bakery.
He didn't work when I came. I found him in a very bad shape. Not working, but...
Well, we'll just go on from there, and you can pick up your memoir.
When I came there...
Where are we at this point in time?
In Kokansky Oblast.
Kokansky...
Yeah. Oblast. It's in Central Asia. The capital is Tashkent. Tashkent is the capital of Uzbekistan.
Near Pakistan. It's Pakistan.
Uzbekistan.
Uzbar.
Uzbekistan. However you spell it, it will be.
To me, I don't know where it is.
I know.
It's on
I
the map.
I wouldn't know either if I wouldn't.
But it's near present-day Pakistan?
It's, I think it's close there to Iran.
Near Iran.
You know, it's the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
Central Asia,
uh-huh.
Not the Middle East. My son was born there.
So this is what year you would remember that year would be?
My son was born in 1942.
Okay, and you regrouped with your husband?
So then they drafted him,
mm-hmm.
and he left, and then there was a bunch of other Polish. They did not take him in the service because they didn't trust the foreigners, but they were supposed to send him to Siberia in the ammunition factories to work. So they decided to jump trains. And this is why he had to change his name. Instead, Lowenstein, his mother's name was Winter, her maiden name. So this is what he picked up. And I remember like now walking on the street and some lady called after me, Frau Winter, Mrs. Winter. I didn't even turn back when I got home. I remember this is my name.
When he jumped the train, was he near you?
Well, it wasn't near me.
No,
it was a different
town.
So, and I was left behind. In I don't know whether I told you this. Then he left me. I had to make a living.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, I'm a cosmetologist,
mm-hmm.
so I'm a barber too. And I,
mm-hmm.
you know, in Europe, you learn everything. This way, and then sometimes I went to the bakery where my husband worked, and I bought a loaf of bread for less, and I resold for more. And then I went once, I think I told you this, with my son to the doctor,
mm-hmm.
when I was writing
prescription pads, I like that.
That's right, and that's the way I left with a prescription, because you couldn't travel without a permission. And this was like a permission if you went to buy a ticket on the train,
mm-hmm.
you could get it.
When you found out he was nearby, how did that occur?
Through somebody, he sent me a little note to say where he is. I found out that he let me know that he didn't go when they drafted him. So, and that's the way I was there, so I don't know how long, a month more, maybe
more. How long were you separated during this time? You had the baby, he was there when you had the baby?
Oh, he was there when I had the baby.
And then he was enlisted.
He walked with me to the hospital. And
yeah, we heard that last
time. Quite a distance, yes. So I came there. He had rented some little shack waiting for me, but it was a bad storm and it fell in. When I came, I really didn't find him, find no place where to go. So he was sleeping in this tea houses. They call it Chaihana.
A tea house?
Yes. So I came and I found him in a very bad shape.
You had the baby with you?
Yes.
And you found him?
Yes.
In bed.
So we rented a little shack, which it was a really chicken coop. It had even the square cut out in the door where the chickens used to get in and out. And we were there for a while, and whatever I brought, a little product, a little cornmeal, a little rice, little beans, violet less. And then I started knowing people, and for some reason I was afraid to go to work. They said for the Russians, you work, if you are late, they put you in jail.
Mm-hmm.
So I was petrified. So, and there were some very nice people. The names was Epstein, very high intelligent people. One son was in the service in the war. He was a major.
In the Russian army?
In the Russian. They were Russians.
Were they Jewish?
Yes. And the other one was in high school yet. It was a big difference in age. So she used to give me a piece of material. I went to the market and sold it and made a couple of rubles. But then it was very bad. And I saw there is no other way. Then I went and I got a job in a barber shop and I started working. In the back of this barbershop was a mill. It's a factory where they grind the corn, the flour they make,
mm-hmm.
the wheat. So there I used to shave the people that they are they are Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
The heads and fix the beard. And I used to walk in the mill and they used to give me a little sack. A kilogram of flour. So sometimes I walked in with my son with a little blanket on and I put it on the arm and I covered it and that's the way I carried it out. And from this I used to make like you cook farina
mm-hmm.
to have more instead to bake. I cooked to stretch it further. One time I went in and this man gave me, I didn't have my son with me, he was in the kindergarten or in the nursery then, a little sack was a kilogram or maybe more flour, and I saw all of a sudden the director from the mill is sitting in the front on a bench where my shop was there
mm-hmm.
in the front, you know. So I walked in the back, they had the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
I walked in there and I put it in my panties. And that's the way I crawled up. I didn't wear pants like now. You couldn't
uh-huh.
do that. You wear a uniform. And that's the way I came out and I stopped and talked to them like nothing happened. And then I walked in my in the shop. So in, you have to do.
Right.
Or in the night, sometimes see, it happened once, it was snow, which there is very seldom. And this chicken coop, I heard cracking, it's falling in. And I said to my husband, let's take the baby and let's get out of here. And I grabbed my son, and I hardly held him under me when I walked out and this fell in.
You are blessed.
So of your left, like in the street. So we walked into the landlady in the Epsteins were living there. In the meantime, my landlady looked around, and not far from there was another woman who had an 8-year-old boy, and she took us in. She had one room wasn't even finished. In one room she was living. The bed bugs and the lice ate us alive. But it was warm. The boy was going in the night to steal coals. And I was going, there was a couple the ladies, and there was a couple boys, and in the night we went to steal sugar beets.
The 8-year-old boy? Or an older boy?
The 8-year-old, and there was some more bigger one like this.
So these were other immigrants that were refugees?
From the earth. Refugees who lived around the earth for survival.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember like now we came and there was the watchman. And when they saw the watchman there, they started whistling. And when they whistled, we knew we had to run. So, anyway, then I decided how bad it will be. I have to go to work. My husband is a baker. He, in a bakery, was the best job there could be, but they didn't take him in. See, they was there organized. There was all kind of women working, and they didn't give him a chance. So then I started to work in this barbershop. I had to take regular prices there, so it wasn't much. But I had like a soup once a day. They gave the white noodles, you know.
They fed you?
For the all the workers. So I used to have a little pot, and I brought it home, and we both had it.
So you would bring the food home?
Yes.
Share it.
In fact, I gave most of the noodles to my husband. He's a man, he should have more, and I had. And I nursed my son 20 months because I didn't have what to feed him with. So, and I worked there, and through there, I met the people, the leaders from the bakery. And I start talking to give my husband a chance. And finally my husband got in the bakery and started working. Well, when he started working there, I tried to quit this job. It's not easy in Russia, you can't quit.
Oh, you don't have a
choice. So through a doctor, somehow this my child leads me home. I didn't work anymore for the time being. So my husband was working, and they saw he is very qualified. So he was more or less
the breadwinner.
In the bakery, he took over like the flour, and he had to give up percentage, like they give him 100 kilogram flour, he has to give 100 kilogram bread. Well, the bread, you never saw something like it. They mix the flour and they pour it in the tins. They had high round tins because it wasn't needed. It was just to pour in to have more. It should be heavier on the scale. They gave him beet flour, and there was some kind of another flour. It's called jugara. They look like tiny little beans, white with a little black dot. It grows like on corn sticks. it leaves out like a flower, and this is what it is. So anyway, when they gave him this this flower, they said to give them from this flower 100%. For a kilogram, a kilogram. So the wheat flour, everybody took. There came the chief of police. He wanted bread and flour. To heat the oven, he had to buy the oil to sell flour. The judge, Funtan, was a smaller town, came for the wheat flour, and this is why they had to mix this and to make this bread to be heavy, and all the workers were stealing. So, and one day, after 3 months, after he had his jugara flour, they asked my husband to give him, they want 150% from this flour too.
They wanted to stretch it out more.
Yes.
But they wanted to get more out of it, thin it out?
Yes. Well, he stopped giving them what they asked for. After 3 months, after giving them what he gave, he said, so where is this percentage, the 3 months, what we didn't take from you, what you gave us only 100? Well, he could have repaid it the same way, but there is not this. So, and they put him to jail. They took him and with a gun behind him, like he would be the biggest criminal. And there was a trial. I was sitting behind the trial there. And then I got there, I saw, he put the witnesses, the working people from the bakery, but they didn't call them to the trial. So I said to my husband, you speak up, if they are not here, let them charge you without you too. So they said, they took him back to jail, and they said they'll make another trial in a few weeks. In, the next trial, they called the witness, but they did not ask them any questions, and they gave them 5 years jail. So they sent them away to another town, and I appealed. In fact, I hired a lawyer, which his name was Lowenstein, but I couldn't say this, my name is the same, you know. And I got hold of the judge. The judge was a lady. And I told her the story, what's going on in the bakery. It's for the flour. The chief of police took flour.
And then they blamed it on him.
The judge took the flour. He gave it. I mean, they came and he signed how much flour he accepted for the bakery. But from this, he had to give them. So in there is one man working who said he is an invalid from the fatherland, which I said is not true. He was the manager. I said he is a cripple born. That's the way he was. And I reported everything the way it was.
To the judge?
Yes.
Well, this is a Russian court of law.
A Russian court in a different town. They send them already away from this town in a different jail. Well, then the trial was, they said it's going to be a retrial. Well, to tell my husband, I couldn't go get close to him. If I gave him in some food, I took like a... There you couldn't find even a piece of paper. But it was like a brown bag, a little piece of paper, and I wrote to him in Yiddish. And I said, you are going to come back for a retrial. But in the meantime, some crookery happened there. They made it to look like a mistake, and they sent them away in jail to Baku. There were the big criminals are. Well, in the end he went.
They made it look like a mistake. They sent him away. They didn't want this thing to happen again. They didn't want
to bring him back because they knew whatever he said, it's true.
He was being set up.
Yes.
And they were all taking.
That's right. So, anyway.
And they sent him to a high security prison, is that?
They sent him to the real Baku where the coal mines are, where the big criminals are. So he suffered there plenty, no question. In the meantime, I was working here to bring him back. And whatever I had saved, I spent. And I started working in a barbershop, in a different one, and I started making really good money. Because the prices, I had to give them 50%, but if I gave them $100, 100 rubles a week, they were satisfied.
Who are you giving this to?
The government.
Oh.
You see. And I could have made them $100 a day.
Sometimes. So they didn't have control of the employer sending, they would give you the money and then you'd pay.
They didn't have to give. I had the shop by myself.
Oh, you ran the shop and owned the shop?
Well, it was like my own. Mm-hmm. My instruments I had from home.
Uh-huh.
Only the room what they gave me. So it was like my own.
I see.
So he was there. In the meantime, came like an amnesty for Polish citizens, and he came back. It's a long story how and what he came. He came, if he would have to be a little longer, he wouldn't come back. He was already skin and bone. In there, what he went through, it's too much to talk about.
How long was he there then?
About 3 months.
So he could have been there 5 years. He would have never made it.
No.
After 3 months, they let the Polish...
They gave amnesty for the Polish citizens.
So there were a lot of other people.
Yeah, but when he came back, I worked already in the shop. But this wasn't the case. When he came back, they didn't let him sit long. They drafted him and they sent him in the war. He was in the war.
In the Russian army?
In the Russian army, in the war, and all over in Europe, and Hungary, Romania, in the Russian army.
So then they had a record of him. They knew where he was. They took him, huh?
When he was home, they took him. They specially drafted him because they didn't want to have another trial because they knew they are in trouble. In most of the big shots, they just went in different parts of the country. They left the place because they were afraid.
You mean that was a big scandal with the bakery?
Well, it looks like this is what I told over there in Fergana for the judge. She probably let them know what's going on.
She didn't like that.
So they disappeared. So in the meantime, for me working in this shop, I did everything. I call it, for instance, this ladies, the eyebrows. She asked me, how much is it? 5 rubles. How long does it last? I said, a month. She said, here is 10. Let it last for 2 months. Or if I gave her a manicure, she said, how much is a manicure? 5 rubles. Actually, this was inflation prices. By law, I shouldn't have taken these prices, but everybody did. So she said, here is 10 rubles and make both hands. She thought when I ask 5 rubles, is one hand. It didn't happen often, but it happened sometimes. Yeah, they are very ignorant and very uneducated.
But they wanted to look good.
Yes, some, very poor. Mm-hmm. They were, what can I say, most, they sit in the tea houses, see there is no furniture. They have a big table, it's like on the floor, this high on the floor, and they sit on the table with their feet under them, and they take with one pialushka, they call it, little cup, and just goes from hand to hand. Each one takes a sip. When it's empty, they refill it and they
the
go
tea.
Around. Yeah.
And that's all, it's just tea in there?
Tea. And
that's their form of entertainment?
Yeah, tell some stupid jokes and then. And
were
they
speaking
all
Russian? They speak Russian, these people?
No,
they
speak Uzbek.
But the people in the government were Russian?
Yes.
The ones that were the
judges? Under the Russians, Russian occupation. Fact is, now they are trying to get away from the Russians.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, but this is a different.
Yeah,
different civilization.
So your husband is now in the Russian army for how many years? The rest of the war?
Till the war ended.
So how many years was that?
Actually, I don't know whether he was this long. He was by years, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
It was already.
So he was actually saw combat? He was fighting? He saw combat?
Yes. Yes, he was.
Because before
fighting,
they weren't taking
yes.
them, they weren't taking foreigners before that. Now they are?
Well, it
changed.
Worked out this way. This
yeah.
If he wouldn't have been then with the bakery, they would have kept him in the bakery,
mm-hmm.
not leaving to the war. But because it was supposed to come up another trial,
uh-huh.
this is why they sent him away.
I see.
Yeah, and then he liberated. In fact, he went home with papers, he is winter, got his hometown in Poland, and they saw him, and they
Russian.
Said to Mr. Lowenstein, they didn't know he's winter, in the Russian clothes he was winter. So I told you we were married four times. Did
four
I tell
time?
You?
Four times.
Four times.
No.
First, we got married, we loved each other. Then, when we ran away from Hitler on the road, they said that they find Jews, they killed them. So there was, we came to a little town, to a town, Zmerinko. Before a bridge, we dug a little cave like, and we put in our documents. So we are without papers. And then we got to Ukraine there, we had to remarry, register. And this is the second time. Imagine four times to be married to no honeymoon. So, and then when my husband ran away, we are winter and we have no papers. Whatever we had already had to be destroyed. So we registered again. We married a winter. And then we came back to Europe in Germany. We remarried again.
As
so,
who you are.
That's right.
In other words, the marriage served as a ceremony where you would get papers, and then, so that was...
That's right. That's right. Well, and the real honeymoon I had, then our son gave us the 50th anniversary. He really outdid it. He gave us a trip to a cruise,
mm-hmm.
Mediterranean cruise. We were all over in Europe, to Italy, Yugoslavia, Greece, Turkey, Egypt. It was the most wonderful trip he gave us. And then here he made us a surprise party at Pulai's. Steak dinners with a band, music.
Mm-hmm.
It was something, really. We have a wonderful son. After all these sufferings.
Get the payback, huh?
Yes, he's the most wonderful.
So, he's in the war, you're still working in the
yes, and
in
I was
shop.
Working.
He came back to you?
Yes, so in the meantime, I'm working there and I'm making money. My son goes to kindergarten. There was other people. I had one lady there in Israel. Her husband was drafted also, so he asked me to take her in the shop. So she came in and she learned and she helped out. And there was a couple. Well, it's a whole story. All chapters you can write you know, she was more or less a religious couple. In fact, when I came to my husband and everything ended, I went to the market to buy some wood to heat up this little year end of this little shack. I bought a little bunch with string tied wood. It was 30 rubles and I had only 27. I came back, I went to this couple, they should lend me 3 rubles. And they knew this, if they lend me, they always can get it, because if I give them a haircut, it's already the money. Mm. But for some reason, she didn't. And there was another little crippled fellow. She asked him, would you lend me this winter 3 rubles? He said, no, I have to leave to such a time. I have only a 30 ruble piece. Well, long story, she didn't. But then, when my husband left, I got a bigger apartment. What does it mean? One room. So I took in a lady who had 3 kids, 3 boys. 2 she had in a kinder's home, and 1 she kept with her. They are in Israel. I took her in.